What's up, guys? Welcome back to episode 86 of the Double Bogey Show. Today, we dove into the trials and tribulations of buying a set of clubs off of Facebook Marketplace with a little firsthand testimony from our camera guy, Mitch. Oof, what a story that was. We also dove into our first nine-hole course tour, how that all went. And then we kind of wrapped things up talking about me finally finding my sweet spot. Enjoy the episode.
You piped that the wrong way.
I'll call the clubhouse. We'll book in another 18 for tomorrow.
Okay, they cheated on that. They fluffed their balls.
Yeah, no better time for the breakfast ball than now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Double Bogey Show, episode 86. We are...
Quiet on the tee, please.
We are live.
We are live.
No.
We're not live from from Tyler's hometown course, the Frazee Golf Course. A lot of drama went down on this course last year. It's one of like the infamous scramble courses.
Yep.
Where we went 18 holes and then we had a 5 or 6 hole playoff after that to break the tie.
To take down my dad's team.
Yeah. And as you guys can tell, we're not in the studio because we're out shooting our new video series, the nine-hole course tour. We hit two courses yesterday, and then we hit one course today. And we kind of mixed up. It's a little bit of course review. It's a little bit of challenge. And that challenge kind of varies from course to course.
Yep.
Today was a fun one. We did another scramble. It was me, Tyler, and Matt versus Tyler's dad and his buddy.
Yep. So it was 3v2, but the two got an extra shot every time.
Yep.
So. Evened it up, another electric scramble.
Another electric scramble, and as much as I want to get into it, we're not going to because we're going to wait for the video to come
out. Yeah, it's showbiz, baby. You can't get mad at us. We're trying to make a living out of showbiz, so you're going to have to watch the video for us, which let you know it was lots and lots of fun.
I think as a teaser, we can say Ryan and I probably hit the two best shots of like...
I would agree
at least
that.
Speaking for myself, yeah, I would definitely hit the best shot of my life.
And we could talk about that too, Matt, because last time we played a scramble against Tyler's dad, hole one right behind us, this was the first hole of the playoff. And another guy on our team who, again, like I would consider you the guy...
It's his rival from league, Lane. Yeah,
he's going to contribute one or two times, and it's the clutchest moment to contribute to a scramble team. You did that today with an absolute dime on top of a postage stamp green, probably 30 feet uphill.
Yeah. It was only a 110-yard shot, but it was straight uphill. You couldn't see the green, so you had no idea which way it was going. All you could see was the very tippy top of the pin waving in the flag waving in the wind, and Matt hit it right at it.
Well, and what makes it even more beautiful is that you and I had already hit.
And we were shitty.
Yeah, we flubbed two shots. And, you know, we're down to you, and you stick one on the green.
I just had to putt for somehow par. Because I missed a putt before that. And I was just like, I think my only goal for the rest of this is just to contribute.
And you did.
So I'm glad
it
helped.
You did. Because that would have put us down. That would have put us down another stroke. And that would have put us down another stroke. I'm not going to say anything on top.
Yeah. I think we all played our part. I think we all did.
We all made an important shot at least once. Ryan made several.
Yeah.
But we none of us were... There wasn't a single person. There was no one wasted.
Yeah, correct.
Yep.
So we've hit three courses for the nine-hole course tour today. We're able to film the podcast now just so we can talk about it a little bit. Three courses that I honestly didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
And we were able to go and golf those. We had a great time. And it just kind of shows you that you don't need the pristine, you know, $100 around 18-hole course with all the amenities to get out and have fun with your buddies. And we've been preaching that since day one.
Right.
And
now we're actually trying to live it.
Yeah, you know? We did that in the last three courses. You know, obviously the type of golf or like the, you know, the scores you're shooting kind of matters towards like your review of, you know, yourself on the course. Mm-hmm. But honestly, it really didn't in the last 2 days.
No.
So you guys are going to see some really good golf and for our standards. You're also
some really bad golf.
Some really bad golf. And I think a lot of people out there can attest to like, hey, it doesn't matter what the day is. It could be a Monday. It could be a Saturday. One day you're just going to show up and you're going to shoot a phenomenal round.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what keeps bringing you back week after week.
Also, to that point, I would like to, first of all, Matt, great job on that shot. But great job all around. You have improved immensely.
And you,
from
you
night one of league, you are
lesson.
A completely different human being.
You're hitting balls pure, which you've never
yes.
you never used to hit a ball pure.
Your old misses were 30-yard dribblers on the ground, and now your misses are
up in the air.
In the air, just left to right, which is that's the stuff you can fix.
That has been my goal lately, is just to get rid of those random shanks.
Yeah.
Because those cost you just so much more than like a bad shot in the air or anything that.
Now you understand the pain I went through.
Yeah.
When it was 85% of shots were literally going at a 45-degree angle to my right. 40 to 50 yards off.
That's when it's just so disheartening.
Oh my God. But yeah.
When your cart has to leave a different path, everyone else's is heading one way. Would you like separate, like the separate wolf in the pack?
100%.
You know, it's a bad shot when you pull up to another fairway and you have to stop and look both ways before crossing the fairway to get to your ball.
Well, what's even worse is when someone is teeing off on that hole, and then you have to wait probably another 3 to 4 minutes for them to get up to their ball so you can finally clear the way just to hit punch shot back in the fairway.
Right, and then if they see you, they're like, oh shit, somebody's in front of us, I better wait. So then it's just a stalling game with these people on the tee.
There needs to be some sort of like walkie-talkie or a telephone at like the halfway point where you can call back to the tee box like, all right, I'm going to hit real quick. Because yeah, I get caught in that standoff all the time.
CB radio. Something we got to like get that. CB radios in our carts.
Do you know what an electric...
This is 14 to the 8th green. 14 to 8th green. I'm going to be hitting over your heads. Be on a swivel here.
We just shanked one right in your fairway. If you guys got an eye on that, please let us know. Also, what are you hauling today? What are you playing? What are you drinking? Over and out.
Hey, do you know what would be an electric addition to a golf course out there that has a lot of money?
Go on.
Literally just put nets up in between holes. So then it's essentially like playing, it's essentially like bowling with bumpers on.
That would be so ugly though.
Yeah.
It would be ugly, but in terms of user experience, like you can hit a bad shot and keep it in, like you can still kind of keep it in play or just be hitting off the rough.
Didn't we talk about this, but like cement walls one time? So it's like ping ponging around?
That might have been part of the Prism Par 3.
Oh, yeah.
I think electric force fields, if we could really get the money, that would be better than nets. I think nets would be very unsightly.
Yeah, that would be ideal.
It'd be like sweet shots, except 18 times.
Correct. So again, that's why I preface it with a golf course with a lot of money. Or, I don't know, tack on a buck to a sleeve of balls or some merchandise. Just tack on a buck to everything, and that additional money just goes right into the net pot.
I don't hate that. I think that could
bowling
be
with bumpers, just golfing with nets.
It is fun. Or
I'm gonna be honest with you, Ryan. I don't like bowling with bumpers. Takes out
it depends
half the
on
fun.
Where you're at, because there's a new place in Fargo called Kingpins, and they have specific games where you bowl with the bumpers, and you like have to hit a specific spot on the bumpers, and then whatever you get for pins down, it like contributes to your score even more.
Okay,
so it is kind of fun.
That's interesting. Well, if they can add that part of the game into the golf, then I'd be more for the nets than just to have bumpers up.
And let's just say the nets only need to be like 150, 200 yards long. They don't need to cover the entire hole.
Okay.
They just need to cover the size of the fairway. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I think we just need purely like beginners courses where like all that stuff is set up and everything is just a lot easier.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
We're not beginners and we're still hitting into the other fairway sometimes. So.
There's nothing better than walking up to a tee and seeing that you can miss left or miss right and still be able to find your ball.
When it's that forgiving.
Correct.
It's the best feeling in the world.
Yes. Yeah, so just like the confidence just goes through the roof at that point.
Yeah, exactly. I think when there's like no water, because I think the human brain is so weird. When you see water, you're just attracted to hit it into the water.
Yeah, you see the litter box, you're like, I'll take a shit in the litter box today and hit one right in the sand.
Right. You look at the sand, you look at the water, and you're like, at least for me, I'm like, I'm going to club up extra to make sure I get over this. Or I am going to club down because if I go deep, I'm in trouble. But 9 times out of 10, it is just a magnet right into that hazard.
100%.
I have two extra club lengths for it. Oh, you're good.
Come on. Bring it on in.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I was going to add to, okay, here we go. One thing that I've learned in these last three rounds of the new nine-hole course tour is I can count a handful of times when I wish I had a ball grabber.
Yeah, me too. And I have one and I just forgot it because I didn't want to fly with it. My bag was too heavy. And I forgot to put it back in the bag because I am a coward and an idiot.
Well, and I feel like, I don't know, you roll up to a tee box with a ball grabber and someone sees you, they're like, oh, look at this guy. He's going to be looking for balls the whole day. Well, you know, that's half the fun of it.
Yeah, like eat shit. That's what I want to do. That's what I came here for.
Yeah, and especially if you get up to a pond that's like nice and clear and you can see balls that are like 6 feet off the shore. oddly enough, those balls are usually the nicest ones.
Right.
The shittier ones are the ones that are in the woods or under trees.
In the middle
or,
of the lake where you'll never see it.
Exactly.
They're the true misses.
And these like these really nice, like today I found a like a tailor-made purple ball with somebody's name on it.
Yeah, I tried to get it from him and he wouldn't give it to me. I
found a red Callaway Super Soft.
I asked for that one too.
Yeah, neither both of them are going into my bag. So.
I just love colored balls so much. I just bought 3 red Bridgestones.
Well, colored balls are so much cooler.
I don't know why.
Balls.
I think it's like the I'm like a bug with a bug zapper. Well, see a colored ball and I'll go to it.
I also like a good deal every once in a while. Yep. If I can get the 2-for-1 deal where I put one in the water and come out with 2, it just makes things way better in my world.
I mean, we're all just balling on a budget here a little bit. Let's just say
a little bit.
It is. So
a little bit.
Any free thing we can find is a win. Sometimes you find a random club even.
Yeah.
If you put enough good karma into the world of balls into the water, balls into the woods, you could find a club sometimes.
I would 100%. Like to talk about the club thing because we did catch some shit for taking that club from Arizona.
Okay. And that scene was set where, can I set it one more time real quick?
Yep, go ahead.
So we were probably 200 yards out from the green and this was 50 yards into the gravel and cacti and rattlesnake area of the course. And it was a 56 degree. No one's hitting a 56 degree from 200 yards and they sure as hell shouldn't be hitting they're not going to be hitting that far into the gravel.
That club was 100% thrown into that part of the woods.
Correct.
Somebody hit a shitty shot and chucked it.
And it was dinged up too.
Yep.
It was dinged up on the back. It was, mill grind or whatever, 56. So it's kind of like the 360 degree rule. I'm not just going out and taking people's balls. Kind of same with clubs. I'm not just going out and taking people's clubs. Like if I see one off of a green, I'm going to put it in my bag and A, wait for somebody to come grab it from me, or B, drop it in the clubhouse when I'm done.
Yeah, so here's, I would like to make an official breakfast ball rule.
Okay.
If you find a club more than 150 yards into a hazard, OB, in the water, and you find it buried somewhere that somebody didn't leave it, that is now your club.
I'd say, how about 150 feet? 150 yards is that's...
Yeah, if you're going that way.
Okay, fair. 150 feet into the shit, that club was thrown and discarded on purpose.
I would also argue if there's any sort of foliage on top of it.
Yeah, it's been there forever.
Yes. Yep.
Yes.
Now,
but if you find a club next to the green, that is not your club. You return that to the clubhouse.
That's probably your buddies you're golfing with. You probably put it there.
Correct. I mean, it's the same thing with, like, if I find a nice Bushnell... Bushnell wingman speaker on a cart in Arizona at Verado Golf Course at like 2 p.m. on February 8th, I believe it was. I'm probably gonna return
that. That's actually 100% correct.
I'm gonna return that thing and hopefully the guy who lost it, that guy being me, is able to come back and get it from the clubhouse.
I mean, shit, he'd appreciate that.
That man would appreciate that. So much.
Pretty sure I left my speaker at one of the courses we went to yesterday.
No, Mitch.
Yeah.
Well, it would have been in the gravel pit because I told you.
I know.
You said, hey, should I bring a speaker? I said, yeah, just bring it along just in case.
That's all right. Well, we would like to formally apologize to the gravel pit because we forgot to pay for pizza. Please accept Mitch's speaker as payment for said pizza.
Yeah.
It's not even that nice of a speaker.
We're going to pay for the pizza too.
Yeah, I know we are. We're going to send him some money or let him know. But
the speaker's collateral.
Hold the speaker for collateral. That thing's worth at least $12. Those pizzas, they were Jack's. They were pizzas made in a pizza oven that were frozen. So I think it's pretty fair trade.
Yeah. I just would like the speaker back though.
I think we go back
I think you're not going to get that back, Mitch.
You're not going to get it back, Mitch.
You might have to take a weekend road trip
yourself. We'll go out speaker shopping together.
Heck yeah.
Rummage sailing.
So I also want to add too, Matt, you talked about balling on a budget here. Kind of like what we're doing at these small town courses. And it's kind of the picture that we're trying to paint here is like...
Holy creamer. That was so much.
I mean, it's powder creamer and it's just original. So... Remember,
it's also been a long...
I know. I'm with you with the creamer
we're
thing.
Burning
that
calories.
Was a lot.
It wasn't that much.
You just put an inch of powdered creamer into your cup.
No, 100% I didn't.
Let me look.
Literally half an inch. Now, level that shit out. It's not that much.
You can't see it with the camera, but that's a lot of creamer.
Can I get that back so I can...
Here you go.
So you can hide the evidence.
You want some coffee with that creamer?
But no, I think the beautiful part about these courses that we are touring around at, and mind you, we're in Minnesota right now, so we're going to try and get to just about every state in the Midwest to do the 9-hole course tour.
Yes, so... We appreciate all the submissions, but we'll announce next time what state we're going to. so that you guys know. But yeah, so when we go to Michigan, when we go to Wisconsin, submit again. But we're going to do it state by state from here on out.
And we are literally, I mean, we're literally balling on a budget on this trip because we're eating frozen pizzas. Mm-hmm. We're staying at your dad's place. Yeah.
What are the meals we've had?
Okay,
this week?
Okay, let's break that down. Okay, so we leave to the first course.
No one ate breakfast.
No breakfast.
Yep.
Okay. And then we get to a gas station. I get a mushroom and Swiss burger with no ketchup or mustard.
Yeah, we all just get gas station burgers.
Burgers.
It wasn't too bad though.
Yeah. It wasn't too bad, but yeah. At the same time, it's a gas station burger. And then that evening we had three pizzas, a pepperoni and a supreme. Okay. And then we got to Tyler's dad's place and we had, I think each one of us had five brats.
Yeah. We had boiled brats and boiled hot dogs, all venison.
And brats on
and no, just you had protein bars, Matt. Matt was
I was loading up.
Matt got the drunk munchies and he was just like, "Do you think your dad would be mad if I ate his granola bars?"
They were beyond good. I got it.
That was at like 9:30.
And my dad was in bed. I was like, "No, you gotta go wake him up and ask Matt."
I really should have.
And then we woke up this morning and we had a phenomenal breakfast. We
flapjacks.
Had thick bacon.
That was the best meal we've eaten on the entire trip.
Blueberry pancakes.
Some flapjacks.
Yeah.
I had 5 hour energy for me to wash it all down.
Yeah, I did too.
And then.
As did I.
Yeah. And then we got done with the first course today and we had another three pizzas with a couple Busch lattes. Yep. So,
great diet.
You talk about being in peak shape going into the summer golf season. We are well on our way.
We are trying to be John Daly so bad.
100%. I mean, I'm not trying to be John Daly. I'm more so trying to be JD2, and you're trying to be JD1.
Yeah, well, I got the belly. I'm getting close, guys.
Well, I mean, we got to find a Hooters and then, wherever we're at.
So I can be your dad. I'm JD1, you're JD2, and our friend Ian Poulter Jr. Is over there.
He just has a bad diet as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who does Mitch look like?
Mitch kind of looks like, what's his name? He's in the
Tyrell writer. Hatton.
Yep. Or Shane Lowry.
Yeah.
Yep. Or Shane Lowry.
I'll take it.
We'll
don't know who either of those guys are, do you?
I'm learning. Okay.
Okay.
So I just want to ask you guys, like, what's through the three courses we've done so far? What's been your favorite part about these smaller 9-hole courses?
This is easy for me. You know how much of a sucker I am for the news. Former news guy, I've gotten to do the interviews with all the course pros or the owners or whoever decides to do the interview. That's easily been my favorite part. I love history and I love golf. And I just ask these people history questions about their golf course. And I love that shit.
You've also got to be the weather guy because you've had your eye on the Doppler the entire time.
Yep. So
two news itches have been scratched.
They have. Yes.
I also think that's part of the getting the addiction of like wanting to golf at all times of the week is... You know the 7-day forecast. You know the 15-day. You got a golf trip coming up in a month. You're going to look as far out as possible so you can get that radar, see what's going on in the sky.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. You got to prepare for your round because there's nothing worse than showing up for your 10:30 tee time and rain smacks you at 10:45 on hole two, which happened to us.
Well, yeah. Go ahead, Matt.
In terms of my favorite part or in terms of the rain?
Favorite part.
My favorite part was I liked that course last night. I thought it was really creative and it was deceptively hard.
Well, it was the gravel pit course. We can tell them that.
Yep, yeah. Yep.
It was a gravel pit golf course in Brainerd, Minnesota. And what they had said was there was not a single blade of grass when they started building that thing.
June 1st, a year ago.
And it is pristine. I mean, they just opened a month ago? Mm-hmm. And they played a couple rounds at the end of last year. So, I mean, at most, they probably have only had 50 to 100 groups come through that course already.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was a super cool course. You'll have to, again, show business, watch the video, get the full picture of the thing. But it was one of the most unique courses I've ever played, 100%. For sure.
Little slice of paradise action.
Yeah, who'd have thought that you could find paradise in a gravel pit?
No, 100%.
I know, just the vision it takes to put that all together. Because I talked to the designer when you guys were out putting.
Okay.
And he was just very passionate. You could tell about that. And I thought that was really cool.
That's the shit I love.
Yeah.
Talking to these people and you can tell how much they love their golf course.
Yeah.
And that's the best part.
I think that shit's infectious.
That.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
I want to add on to that too. It's like, if you have a chance, you know, this isn't just us round of 18's over, we're going to hit the clubhouse and get shit-faced. No, I think... Actually, making it to the clubhouse after a round of golf, you can run into people like that who you might not think they want to be talked to, but they genuinely do. They want to tell you, you know, they want to tell you how they designed the course or how things are going or what things are going to be implemented. There's like a brand new course at the gravel pit, and they have shit like they didn't have ranch for the pizza. Mm-hmm. That's just part of starting a new business.
Well, yeah, and they were talking about it. I was like, yeah, we didn't realize the stuff that we were forgetting. We didn't have tequila. We didn't have brandy. We didn't have ranch. The three things you need around here.
Yeah. And so what they need is people to come out and make those suggestions so that they can be top notch as soon as possible.
Yep.
If I can give you a compliment, you're really good at that shooting the shit with like random clubhouse people and stuff like that.
I love that you're
really good at that.
Because a lot of them want to talk high level golf. Mm-hmm. And if you're not going to talk golf, you're going to talk something completely different.
Yep.
And I mean, if you're at a golf course, let's talk some high level golf. So I really enjoy, I don't play high level golf, but I like talking about it.
Yeah.
So
something you can respect and appreciate.
You should start a golf podcast.
That would be fun.
Yeah, I think it would be a blast.
You know, I don't know what I'd talk about from week to week, though.
Yeah, me either.
That would be tough.
Especially in the winter.
Yeah. Yeah. The other part, too, I want to say is like, you get these small courses. They're almost like a mom and pop shop in the downtown of a small town. And as you know, being from the Midwest, we're big small town people.
Yep.
Okay. You can say we live in a town of or a city of 150,000 people.
But that's not where we're from.
But we're from small towns. We moved to the city for work and that, you know, higher energy and all that kind of stuff. I'm assuming me, Tyler, I know especially coming from small towns, we want to move back to a small town
right.
one day,
right?
And get into more of the mom and pop shop at the the grocery store and the coffee shop, and then the golf course. Now, as we're figuring out really heavily in the last couple of days,
well, like we're literally in my backyard right now. My dad lives 2 miles down the road.
We are a stone's throw away.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler gave us the tour of like his family yard and all that yesterday. Yeah. It's very cute.
That was really cool.
Did some sunset fishing.
Yep. Yep. Mitch caught his first crappie. Congratulations, Mitch. Everybody clap
Congrats,
for Mitch.
Mitch.
It was a beauty.
It was a good fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Biggest fish I caught in a while.
Hell that's great, man. Yeah, you were crushing it.
And he didn't want the pole. He's like, I'm not much of an angler. I was like, take the pole, Mitch.
Well, there's two types. I feel like there's two types of fishermen here. There's Mitch, who is like, he wants to take the pole. He wants to make some casts. He wants to like get better at throwing it out there, whatever, catching fish.
Yeah.
And then there's Matt, who makes one cast, gets snagged, breaks a line, and then we're like, all right,
I'm done.
Absolutely. We're not at two pools now. So
I want you to move down to the next.
You
thing.
Owe my dad a lure.
Yeah, I'll figure that out with him. We'll square it up.
Okay. Yeah, and 17 protein bars.
Yeah, thank you. I do that.
Thank you.
I like how this number is increasing.
Well, he had at least 25.
It was 4 max.
42 okay. for sure.
Okay, yeah.
He had a full basket of them and they're gone.
I mean, imagine
that's not true.
Imagine how plugged up you'd be after eating 40 some granola bars.
I mean, I don't feel great if I'm being vulnerable.
Well, that's all, also we. I mean,
that
we just
have been the.
We just listed out the meal plan for the last. Two,
yeah, exactly.
2 days.
I think it's everyone.
The meal plan is on another level, right?
It's good
now.
To know for the itinerary next time, so that way I can plan maybe.
Well,
some more health.
Hey, maybe we get you on picnic duty. You pack a cooler.
Yes, okay.
We could do ham sandwiches on the road.
Here's what we need to do.
Hey, ham sandwiches on the road are underrated.
They are good.
A ham guy.
They are very good, especially on a bun, Matt. And not bread. Here's what we need to do though. We need to get someone packing like little veggie bags and some fruit. And
yeah, I'm out on that.
Fresh fruit?
No shit.
I don't want anything healthy when I'm on these trips.
But you're on these trips all
you're
the time.
You've been
now.
On these trips for the
I
last
know,
3
I told
weeks.
You I'm getting the belly.
We're trying to help you.
All right.
I don't want help.
Well, we're gonna have to walk this next round. We can't get carts this next
round.
Well,
that's what I do. Golf is my exercise.
Not when we ride carts, though. Tyler, we're...
Yeah, but I walk, but I'm not with you guys.
Okay.
You
I will
know
say,
that.
Yes,
you
I
know
I will
that.
Say, after every round, I think my blood sugar has gone low.
Well, yeah.
That's because you're diabetic.
And you're getting
if
stressed
If anyone
out.
Needed my dad's granola bars, it was you.
Yeah, it was, honestly.
Do you need one for this round we're about to play?
Maybe afterwards.
Okay.
I'll slam some Twisted Teas.
Okay, well, please don't do that. I mean, that's a good angle for you, though, Mitch, because I'm sure there's other diabetics out there that are on the golf course and like trying to figure it out, whatnot. You should come up with a good routine for diabetic golfers to have with
Actually,
them in their golf
like,
bag.
They should have like a stash of something that, one, doesn't go bad, two, won't melt in your bag if it's super hot, three, has a wrapper on it, so if your bag gets wet, it doesn't get all soggy.
You guys, I told you what snack is the go-to for that. We had them in Arizona.
What is it?
It's Oreos.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
That's why...
In the Ziploc bag. You did bring them with.
Yeah. You guys went shopping, I was like, please grab Oreos.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because when we were out there, I mean, that's hotter out there.
Yeah.
Sweating 10 times is hard.
Yeah. It's a dry heat, though.
Yeah.
And if the bev cart's not running too, you can't get like a Mountain Dew or anything.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah.
Oreos are quick, pop three in, you're good to go.
Sure. Okay.
I like this. You should start like a support group or like an overall.
I think it's actually.
Or like, even like a podcast.
It's actually good. I mean, it's actually.
It's a double podcast.
It's Double Blood Sugar Show.
Jesus Christ.
So YBR, other podcast, You Betcha Radio, Ben has a running list of quotes that Jared has said that nobody pays attention to. And one of those quotes is, do you guys ever get nervous bringing Mitch to Sweet Shots because he's diabetic? And I don't know if Jared was being serious or if he was making a pun on the name being Sweet Shots or what, but that shit came out of his mouth. And then I read that quote and I about pissed myself laughing.
That was funny.
The answer is no, I don't get nervous bringing you there because you're diabetic. I get nervous bringing you there because you're you.
Well, understandable.
Yes.
Yeah, Mitch, because Mitch is golfing with us after this. So we're just going to play a casual round of golf after this. Yep. We're going to scramble his dad's dad teams again. Well,
speaking of the devil, they're playing nine right now.
You go hard in the paint when it comes to like boozing, like having a good time with the boys out golfing. Like, you will go hard quick.
Oh, yeah.
What's the thought process behind that?
Hey, come on, Noonan.
I like having a good time. And.
So you like blowing your load
Shank
early?
City.
Okay, Ryan.
Well, because you can have a good time with a buildup, but you just like, I'm genuinely curious because I will not get into it as quick as you do.
It's, I don't know, golf's a good way to relax, and I relax by shotgunning two or three off first tee and fucking going.
Wait. Do you mean shotgunning beers or do you mean shotgunning your drive?
Both.
Do you mean a shotgun start?
No, shotgunning beers.
Hey, a shotgun start should be you have to shotgun a beer before you start your round.
We should rebrand the shotgun start. Do you know what a shotgun start actually is?
Well, you start at a different hole and you all start at the same time.
Yep.
I'm not completely golf illiterate.
We know that. I mean, you've been listening to us for 86 episodes now.
Well, 46.
He probably wasn't listening.
Oh, true. Yeah, like true.
I did listen to the first one. Long time ago.
How bad was that?
We've come a
long
way.
Pretty tough.
You guys have improved immensely.
I thought you guys were actually pretty good on the first one. I had to listen for some reason too.
Really?
Yeah. Better than I was on my first one because you also had YBR experience before that.
But like we were just commenting on what Miles said.
Yeah.
So like Ryan and I were like, "Welcome back to the Double Bogey Show, episode 2." Who should our favorite golfer be?
Now it's like, what the fuck is up, guys? Welcome back to episode 86
on the fucking subscribe button.
My favorite golfer is John Daly and John Daly II because they're Hooters ambassadors.
That was 3 episodes ago.
Two floating greens.
Mitch missed the two floating greens joke when he was editing that reel.
Yeah.
He thought there's just like, all right, I guess they want two greens, and he stacked them on top of each other instead of side by
really?
Side.
No, they were side by side.
I know, Adam, fix it.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, I missed that joke, went way over my head.
Yep, that happens.
Not JD2's though. He got it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he did. He got a kick out of it. Real quick, Tyler, before we segue into something else, I want to ask you about the first course we played, which was Lighted Greens in Pelican Rapids, Minnesota. So give me the quick history of that. Not about the greens, because that'll be in the video, but, oh no, it is about the greens.
Yeah.
Give me that history real quick.
So one of the coolest things about the Lighted Greens golf course is their greens that they have there at the course were bought from a different course.
A course we just drove by 5 minutes ago.
Yep. It's since closed, obviously. They don't have greens. But an old course shut down in Detroit Lakes, and the Lighted Greens people are like, we want to put in a bunch of holes, right? So they pick the greens up. They get a sod cutter. They cut them up in stripes, and they get a bunch of buddies to come over there, and they put the sod from these greens in the back of all their buddies' pickups and drive it to Pelican Rapids and slap the greens down. And the part that goes full circle for this is the first time I ever played golf was at the original golf course. So I've played those greens before when they were on that old course. It was called Iron Man. So that was where I went there when I was like 5 years old. And it was a par 3 course, just putted my whole way down the fairway and then played those greens. And now I just played them again as a fully grown man with children.
Were they familiar?
Yeah, that's why I was putting so well.
I was going to say it makes sense because we were off to hole number one and I got like a 15-foot putt and I was like, you're going to want to aim like 3 cups to the left. It's going to drop left to right. Pacing is huge here. make sure you don't blast it over either because it's going to roll off the front of the green, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, excuse me.
Can you just let me hit a fucking putt?
Honestly,
here?
I don't even remember. I just blacked out. I got on there. I was so familiar with it. I just started rattling off information.
You time traveled.
Yeah.
Back to when you were 5 years old.
Yeah, I almost shit my pants.
Here's the thing. Did you shoot a better score when you were five or when you were now?
Definitely now. All I had was a putter.
Wow, Mitch. Really, bud?
I would put 5 year old me up against you, though.
Ooh. We'll see about that later today.
Okay.
I want to get into something real quick. So Mitch just got a new set of clubs for him.
Yes, he did.
Facebook Marketplace.
Great deal.
But Mitch, tell us about the first set of clubs that you were going to buy.
Oh, yeah. So,
dude, have you heard this story?
Uh-uh.
Okay, tell us.
So found a set of clubs on Facebook Marketplace. It was a pretty good deal.
And where were they?
Sioux Falls.
So we're talking 4 hours from Fargo.
Yep.
I've
got family around there. I had him pick it up. I've Venmo'd my brother for it, and I just had him go pick it up.
Okay, go on.
So I messaged the guy. He's good with the price.
Did you start with the click the Facebook? Is this still available?
No, I was like, delete.
Okay.
No one's going to respond to that. I know if I ever post stuff on Facebook Marketplace, I'm not going to respond. But so message guy, get a price down. We're good. Has a time set for my brother to come pick it up on a Friday afternoon. I tell my brother, I'm like, don't be late. Don't miss
Please
it.
Don't be late.
I call him at like 2 o'clock and I'm like, hey, you remember to like go get the clubs later today, right? He's like, yeah. So I call. I think I woke him up from a nap. He had just laid down for a nap.
He laid down.
How old is your brother?
He's 19.
He's
Jesus.
Bro was full on slumbering.
That guy does not need to be laying down.
Doesn't he have
for
a job
at 19 years old
at 2 p.m. on a Friday?
Yeah. He's got golf clubs to pick up on Facebook Marketplace
for his big brother.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Keep going.
He oversleeps, even though I called him and told him
classic.
Not to.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Runs in the family.
I'm usually not late.
You're right. Keep going.
Goes and picks up the clubs. He sees this group of guys walking from the address that he was supposed to pick up the clubs from. And he walks up to the guy and he's like...
Kegger, maybe?
What?
Maybe having a kegger or something.
Maybe.
Casual kickback.
Hopefully.
Sorry, keep going.
Hopefully. The guy is like, are you Mitch? And he's like, well, I'm his brother. And he's like, oh, no. The guy sold the clubs that I was going to buy to the dudes that were walking away. The dude got mixed up and sold the set of clubs I was going to buy.
So wait. So there was two sets of clubs being sold is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. And your set was sold to a different group. So
yes. Even though we had agreed on everything and I was like, good okay. to get them. Sold them to the wrong people.
So the odds that other guy's name was Mitch.
Oh, the guy lied through his teeth. The dude probably asked, hey, are you Mitch? And the guy was like, yeah.
Or even like these other guys are like, hey, can I buy these clubs? I'll be over in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, well, that's a for sure
This is
sale.
Your brother's fault for sleeping in.
He was like 5 minutes.
Next time you see him, you gotta give him a fucking noogie or something.
Put yeah. a swirly.
Little well, brother action.
It actually turned out better because I got a better set for the same price. Like the guy felt so bad, he sold me a better set with the driver I showed you. And
so you need to thank your brother for sleeping in.
Yes.
So everything okay. happens for a reason.
So you got better clubs for cheaper.
Yep.
Fuck yeah.
It was probably like a $200 set I got for, I think it was like $140 I agreed on. So.
Yeah, that's nice. Great. Yeah. So Mitch he's stacked now. He's
so so when we split up for this scramble, we'll go best and worst. Mitch is the number one pick, so you get to go with the worst golfer.
Well, I don't have my set of clubs.
That's true. So then now you're back at the bottom now.
Yep. I went from number one overall to number 32.
Whoopsies.
Yep.
That's all right.
Next time. Our opponents just walked through the door.
Yeah, they're
mean mugging us.
Look at them shaking in their boots over there.
They're getting cold right now. The muscles are tensing up a little bit.
I watched you guys play nine. Didn't look good. Yeah, that's what we couldn't see the green. We saw the first six shots, though.
I didn't know you were playing for pars. Yeah, I can't say anything.
No one in the podcast can hear what they said.
I know, that's the best part.
Yeah. Okay, should we wrap this segment up and get out and hit the course?
Yep.
Start playing again.
Let's do it.
Okay, guys, we're gonna end this segment here. We're gonna head out and play a casual round of golf. It's gonna feel really good. Get the swing dialed again.
Yep.
So we'll be back in a moment. Back in the studio for the next segment.
Thanks to the Frazee Golf Course for letting us use your screen porch for our podcast.
Yes.
We appreciate you guys. This is my backyard, so I can't lose here, guys. Whoever's against me, you're in trouble.
Let's go.
It's early right now. We're heading out for another nine-hole course tour, but we needed to wrap the podcast up. And what we were just talking about, Tyler, is you're a big hunter, right?
Yes.
And I feel like with hunters, and I am as well, as am I. I feel like with hunters, people are always like, oh, make sure, you know, when you have your first kid, make sure you don't have them during hunt season. Mm-hmm. You're never going to get out hunting this year. Don't be doing that now.
That's not how we talk.
No, I know, but that's how people who like.
I think that was more of a Larry the Cable Guy type situation.
You're done. Yeah. So,
are you speaking of Tow Mater from Cars?
But we're now running it. We're kind of running into a debacle here where it's like, well, I'm a golfer, and July is the heart of golf season. And that's when I'm having my child. There's a lot of stuff going on in July.
That's the problem. Is golf season's long?
It is. Really, it is long.
So you could have had the kid in May and be like, damn it, I'm missing the beginning of golf season. Or had the kid in October, like, oh, I'm going to miss the end of golf season.
Yeah, yeah, that is
true.
So
no matter what.
I have to miss some point.
You got to either have the kid when the snow is on the ground.
Yeah.
Or you're going to miss some of golf.
I will say you nailed it with the second kid in terms of timing. It was like March, wasn't it?
Yeah, nothing's going on then. Yeah, his birthday will be during March Madness, so in college he's probably going to black out.
Absolutely get shit-faced.
Yeah.
And then he'll be watching Masters like a month later, right?
Yep.
So that's sick.
You know, I'm a hunter, right? But you know my dad is a much bigger hunter than I. My birthday is smack dab in the middle of rifle season.
How do you think he likes that?
He didn't care, though.
Well, then he did. Doesn't
oh, really?
Anymore. Yeah.
I was going to say, like, yes. Well, he cared that he's having a child, yep. But he's also like, I got to fucking get the bow stand.
Yeah. But back then, he was all in, even when I was younger, it ended up being kind of a cool thing. So, like, let's say your kid likes golf. It's going to end up being a cool thing. You can golf together on their birthday. We would get to go to the cabin during my birthday, and I get to hang out with all of my favorite, like, hunting relatives.
Yeah.
So it ended up being kind of sweet.
Sure.
And then we would just celebrate, do my birthday party the weekend after.
Okay. Yeah, that's actually not a bad model.
So it's like, it's going to be bad for this year and this year only because it's the unknown, right? You're waiting for that baby to show up. You have no idea if I'm out on the course, is Meg going to go into labor now? Am I going to have to sprint to the hospital?
Yep.
This will be the only year it sucks. Next year, you'll be able to celebrate outside and enjoy it. And then in 5 years from now, you can go golfing with the kid and it's going to be...
What?
It'll be a good thing right at once things, in a few years from
once
now.
Once the baby gets here,
yes.
Actually.
Well, and I feel like it might be hitting me a little bit harder this year because, like, now we're getting this page to a point where we're getting some opportunities here. Mm-hmm. We're getting some cool things happening because you guys are listening to the podcast, you're watching the videos, you're doing all that. And so I'm like, I'm jacked up. And then when you're like, hey, man, we got this golf tournament in July that we can go and do this on, I'm like...
4th of July.
We, like, leave me alone, man. We don't have a golf tournament. You do, and I don't.
What if I just go by myself and get a tripod and set phone up?
Yeah. I mean, if you were in my situation, I would probably do that.
I wouldn't.
I'd probably
alone.
Say, hey, Matt, like, we're going to do this thing, and Tyler can't go, but we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, I would bring Matt. I wouldn't go alone. If, like, no one else could go, I wouldn't just be like, hey guys, yeah, I'm Tyler from Breakfast. So I'm shooting alone today.
That would be it. I actually would be
I
really
just
funny.
Set my energy drink down on the tee box, lean my phone up against it, and go hit my shot.
That would be hilarious.
That would be really interesting. I would love to see you like actually try and do like a solo video out there. That
you don't think
tough.
I can do it?
I think I could do it. I think both of us could do it.
You know, I'm an Emmy award-winning MMJ, multimedia journalist.
I did not know you won an Emmy, no.
I did.
And I was on Shark Tank, so.
That was a Midwest Emmy. That one was not a full Emmy, so it doesn't really count.
Yeah,
but it was Midwest
Emmy,
Shark Tank.
Shark Tank, not Midwest Shark Tank, Matt. This is worldwide
Shark
Tank.
You didn't have a speaking role, though.
This is Kevin O'Leary type shit.
I know, but you didn't have a speaking role.
But you need role guys.
It's harder to act with your body than with your mouth, Matt.
That is true.
And you also need role guys.
Okay, yeah.
Ryan's role is background forklift operator.
Number three.
Imagine if there was no role guys on Shark Tank. They would have been just like Tyler and I filming a solo golf video.
And that's just sad.
I could probably get an Emmy out of it.
We could try.
Yeah.
We could definitely try. Okay, this last segment of this podcast, I want to bring something up before we forget. And it's something that we haven't talked about for a while now. Recap, last week's golfing. I went out on Sunday, golfed 18,
mm-hmm.
and it was very interesting, Tyler. I had a blast. I told you who I golfed with. I golfed with one guy that I know that we golfed at Pine to Palm last year.
Yes. And then, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then three other guys, I had no clue who they were.
Did you intentionally go golf with Pine to Palm guy on purpose? Like, I'm going to go with him and you got paired with randoms or how?
No. Those were his buddies.
Okay.
Because he was basically just looking to fill a foursome.
Yeah.
So he asked me to come out and I said, I had nothing going on. I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll meet you there. So I met him there. It's
good,
it's,
good guy, by the way.
Yeah, good guy, Jace.
Not the guy that
you listen to this.
Not the guy that
was slamming 20-year-old slamming beers without even buying us any at Pine to Palm.
I was saying Tom.
Oh yeah, that's a different. We don't.
Yeah different
that's,
guy.
Two different that day rivals. Was
just, yeah.
Anyway, so I get, you know, I'm golfing with guys I don't really know,
mm-hmm.
and best round I've ever golfed.
Do you think? Yeah, and, you tell him your score. By the way, brag. Get it out. Go.
And my brag for this, I shot a solid 83.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say it's the best round I've ever shot, score-wise it is, but overall, I was 6 over through 9.
Mm-hmm.
I was 5 over on 10 and 11 combined.
Oof.
So I was 11 over going into 12, and I parred out the rest of the holes. It was an unbelievable finish.
That is a great finish.
But here's why. I wasn't thinking about my score towards the end. Mm-hmm. And do you know why I wasn't thinking about my score?
Because you weren't with us and we no. weren't chirping you.
No, because I was in the sweet spot. Three beers on the front and three beers on the back.
Okay, so you found it. What time did you golf?
And I was thinking about this on the ride home. I'm like, why was I so... Like, typically I'd be looking at my score and like, Jesus, Ryan, you've had 5 pars in a row. That's unlike you. And I'm looking at him like, and it didn't even bother me because number one, we were having a good time.
Uh-huh.
But number two, I was in the sweet spot.
We got to dial in your sweet spot here. What time of day was it? What was your
12:50 tea time? First beer was cracked at probably 12:54.
Okay.
So after first drives, pretty much.
How was the temperature?
The temperature was a little bit overcast.
So not sweating.
No, and sweating. Probably 65.
Okay. Okay.
What did you eat during the day beforehand? Like how much?
Let's see. What did I have for? The day before I had Mexican food.
What did you have that morning? What was in your system?
I believe Sunday morning is when I had pancakes and eggs.
So that's a good base.
Pancakes on the Blackstone.
Solid breakfast.
So I think.
And I wasn't drunk by any means.
Right. No.
I was just like. Lightly buzzed.
I'm just these are factors we need to take into your sweet spot.
Absolutely.
So you had a good base, which means if you didn't have that good base and you had gone and just granola barred it for breakfast, you probably six beers might have been too much.
100%.
But since it was overcast and you weren't sweating that beer out right away,
yep.
If it was hot, you might need more than 3 beers on each 9.
I was pissing a lot though.
Okay, well, that's good. That means you're hydrated. You're not losing your liquids through your body. It's coming out your junk.
Correct.
So that's good. That's what you want.
Correct. It was about 3-4 hours beforehand. Got a good breakfast in. Don't think I ate anything before that.
Okay, so now you know it. You know the formula. The only thing you need to tweak for is the weather. Every morning you golf, you need pancakes and eggs.
What's the weather today supposed to be like?
Pretty 65 nice.
65 and overcast?
Hey,
if anyone ever wants to play for money, 65 and overcast.
It's the only time.
I'll fucking be there, baby. You better believe it. But no, when I look back on that, I'm like, holy shit. I kind of had an epiphany. I'm like, that was it.
So I think
that was it right there.
If it's 65 and sunny, you need to have one beer on hole 9 that you finish half of it on 9 and the other half on 10. So you're at 3.5 on each 9 to counteract the sunshine being out.
Yeah.
And sweating a little. If it's 80 degrees and sunny, not overcast, you need to do a full 4 on each 9.
Yeah. No, I would agree. And then number 9 is when we ordered our second six pack and they were out in the bev cart. So they actually had to run back. There was about a 15 minute delay in there.
So that's when it's okay to break out a beer that you snuck onto the course to make sure you maintain the sweet spot.
When did the pars start happening? Because he said
the pars started happening on 12. Number 12 after.
Is that after they had to go
after
back
the third
to,
beer?
Is that after they had to go back to the clubhouse?
Let's see.
Because I wonder if that break helped reset something.
They came back to us halfway through number 12.
Okay.
So do you think he had those first three too fast and kind of fell apart, and then the break evened you out?
I'm thinking there might have been something there. I'm thinking that break helped him from going into full on. Silly drinking mode.
I'm gonna check something real quick here.
So what if Ryan needs to pound three beers before the round.
For the base.
For the base. And then just sip the rest of the time to keep that.
This is actually good because you think one beer per hole for the first nine.
One beer per hole is nine.
One beer per three holes for the first nine. Bogey, bogey, par. Bogey, bogey, bogey. So beer number two is not. It was not going down.
Not easy.
Friendly to me. Par, bogey, par.
Okay.
So beer three was decent, and then like end of beer three to beer four, double, triple par.
Okay.
And then par, 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 par.
Okay.
So there was a rough spot there.
There was. And we got to figure out why that rough spot happened.
That was after.
Were you getting too drunk or were you not drunk enough yet?
I think I was more so waiting on them to bring the beers back from
your
the
focus
clubhouse.
Was somewhere else.
My focus was somewhere else. Correct.
The only thing you could think about was getting that next one to your lips.
Yeah. So I think to combat that, I probably could have shot sub 80, which is my goal. This summer, I probably could have shot under 80 had I had an emergency beer in my bag.
Yep. I think you could have.
There's a movie on that. Having like that emergency something that the guy is like in a pinch and he pulls it out and uses it. It's kind of like Nos in Fast and Furious.
Buddy the Elf carries a emergency bottle of syrup for
right
his spaghetti.
Boom. He never knows when he's going to run into a plate of spaghetti.
Yep.
Or, like I said, Fast and Furious have the NOS button.
Yeah.
Like, oh shit, I'm in a pinch. I'm going to lose this race.
Grandpa Dave is dropping off the perfect tool for us tonight. We won't be able to bring it to our rounds today, but we will bring it to our rounds tomorrow. We are shooting today and we are shooting tomorrow again.
Yep.
Grandpa Dave is bringing us our savior. Exactly what you just talked about. The perfect emergency drinking tool.
Really?
We'll discuss it once it is out and into the world and we actually have it in our possession. Because he's old and he's forgetful. So hopefully it gets delivered tonight.
Okay. I actually don't even know what it is. So
you'll like
it. A little surprise for all of us.
I'm stealing it, by the way, Grandpa. This podcast won't come out until it's already delivered. So thank you for giving it to me.
Grandpa Dave was also talking shit on Facebook to us the other day. You talked about your goal this summer is to take Grandpa Dave down in a round of golf.
Yeah, and the Caddy Girls tournament is the perfect opportunity.
Yeah, in Myrtle Beach, you're like, I'm going to get him totally shit-faced. And then he goes and shares the podcast on Facebook and says, I got shit-faced at your bachelor party and beat both of you.
And still whooped your asses.
Still whooped both of you guys. Which
the fact is, Grandpa, we scrambled.
Yeah, it was a four-man scramble. We didn't even...
Were you on his team?
No. Oh. No, I wasn't. He was behind me, I think.
I was, too. That was when he flipped me off.
Yeah. Yeah, it was unbelievable.
He's like, hey, fuck off!
I also just love the old man Facebook tactic of talking trash by resharing the podcast. So thank you for the share, by the way. And then just writing it in like the caption.
Yeah. Didn't tag us. We had to go to his page to see it.
Yeah. Just to wrap up last week, I know the first segment of the podcast, we were at the Frazee Golf Course and got a couple nine-hole course tour videos filmed. And then we finished the podcast up with another, you know, the classic scramble.
Mm-hmm.
And it was us three in this room right here against your dad, his buddy, and Mitch. And I will say, Tyler, came down to the last hole, didn't it?
Again.
Yep. Again, as it always does.
Yep.
We ended up taking the L.
So we tied. So we were playing stroke play, or we were playing match play, and we tied on the match play. But they beat us by one in stroke, which was the tiebreaker.
But essentially, we're still undefeated in scramble golf tournaments.
Because it's a tie.
And whenever the cameras are rolling, undefeated.
Yeah.
And you and I were not scrambling. We were scrambling together with Matt, but as a two-man scramble,
we're
still undefeated.
Sick.
So, I don't know.
Matt, you did have some really good shots in that scramble.
I know.
You picked me up. I didn't play as good in that scramble as I did the first one.
We had also played a lot of golf. We had filmed a lot of videos and we did the podcast and all that kind of stuff. So overall, really good week. We got the content starting to bank up. We're going to start getting some videos edited. I mean, fuck, boys. We have drone footage in some of these videos, which is next level.
That is the most production you will ever get out of the Breakfast Ball team ever.
Yeah, we might even throw some sound effects in there.
I'm going to go to a PGA tournament and film a video on my phone leaning up against an energy drink. So you take this drone footage and enjoy every second because you're not always going to get it.
And it's one of the first times that people have actually been able to see us golf.
Yep.
And I will tell you, you may be disappointed right away, but you will not be disappointed after the fact.
Yeah.
I think we mentioned it in the first segment, but I think we got a good balance of like us being shitty and funny and us actually like getting good shots out of our asses.
The best part of it is it was no acting. It was very unintentional. We all hit 100%. Good shots and we all hit some pretty fucking bad ones.
Yeah. Well, I think right away too, we've never really had a camera follow us for a full round of golf.
Yep.
And we did that right away. I think it was a little bit to adjust to at first, just having a camera right behind you, thinking like, all right, hey, you ready? Are you ready? Are you filming? You're good to go. Okay, I'm going to hit now. So it was always kind of in the back of your mind, but I think we got that ironed out.
Yeah, we got some learning curves. We got to get out of the way so the shot tracker can follow us a little bit better.
Yeah. Shot trackers.
Oh yeah, we have shot trackers too. So
there's going to be a lot of like,
we've evolved.
How the hell did you hit that ball where it went?
It's going to be, how the hell did the shot tracker trace it when it went basically backwards?
Yeah. Yeah. So we had a good time with it. We're going to continue on with that today. But we had to come in here. We had to wrap the podcast up and I had to let you know that I officially found my sweet spot.
Good. Good. Now we just got to figure out, we got to adjust for weather and food.
Yep.
Those are the only, you've got the volume part figured out.
Yep.
Weather and food are the two things to pay attention to from here on out.
Yep.
Also, make sure don't drink too much. We don't want your tolerance to go up or down.
Correct.
Keep
because
your
then it's going to.
Yes.
It's going to sway in one direction or the other.
Yeah. There's got to be, you know, like those wristbands that like measure your hydration and shit and like tell you how healthy you are.
Like a Whoop?
Yes. Like sure. A Whoop. Yes. We talked about this last time we brought the sweet spot. But if somebody is in development of that wristband that can tell you your sweet spot, let us know.
That would be a product that we would push 1,000%.
I'm willing to have a small pinprick in said bracelet to measure my blood alcohol content.
Yeah, I'm willing to be an angel investor. I mean, again, I was on Shark Tank at one point, so I know a little bit about...
I move boxes.
I know... Really?
Well, you guys got the...
I think there were other stuff you moved, too.
That's true.
I think you're jealous that I was on national television on Shark Tank.
I've honestly only watched like two different episodes of Shark Tank.
In two different scenes, too. So after the first scene, they weren't like, dude, we got to get this guy out of here. They were like, we got to get this guy back in here for scene number two. And that was me demolishing a forklift into the back of a FedEx truck. Not demolishing the forklift, but like I crushed
operating
that.
It correctly.
Yes, absolutely.
We got to get back on Shark Tank, I think.
Can you
use your connections to help us like get any of these like golf innovations going? You have connections with Mr. Wonderful, and you just are sitting on them.
Sharks, we're here looking for $500,000 for our entire company. Just develop this for us.
You can have it. 100% equity. They're like,
You need to also develop the app. Here's an idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the Swinger app would be a cool Shark Tank product to pitch.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple we've come up with that we could potentially pitch to Mr. Wonderful and the gang.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to do business with Mr. Wonderful. He seems a little rude.
But I mean, it's reality TV. It's
I suppose.
It's more of a front.
All right. So the episode you were on, was it actually on Shark Tank? Because it was like a follow-up episode.
It was, yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if they had like a sister show that was following up all the deals that had been made.
It was in the middle of a Shark Tank episode.
Oh, okay. So it was their turn. It was at the turn of the episode.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Pretty cool. No, the company I work for, though, season 7, episode 17. I can't remember the episode the update was on, but if you're interested, I'll send it to you for sure.
Yeah. We'll throw it on. Yeah, we'll throw it on. In Arizona, we probably spent about an hour looking for it on YouTube.
We found it, though.
We did find it.
Yeah, we 100% found it.
It just took a good amount of time.
We had to dig.
The SEO isn't great for Shark Tank. They'll figure it out,
No,
though.
not. I tried searching my name. I tried searching the company.
Why would your name show up on that?
Post-credits.
No speaking lines.
Post-credits, though.
I don't know if
like
you
as an extra.
I don't even know if you were listed in the credits.
I wasn't, 100%. But I had to check anyway. So, all right, we're going to wrap this podcast up. Guys, before we go to OUBetcha.com, we got all the breakfast ball merch. Also, had a great meeting yesterday. We got some absolute fire merch designs coming for you. It's going to be great. But in the meantime, go check out the website, OUBetcha.com, for BevCart regular towels, the hats, the polos, all that good stuff. Everything to get you ready for your next round.
Yep.
And we'll be back next week for episode 87. In the meantime, thanks again for listening, guys. We'll see you next week.
Hell, that's a breakfast ball.